There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories.
From your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes. So last night, I got some seamless, not to brag.
Wow. Yeah. You mean your pants?
My pants are covered with seams just in case I get caught in them so I can bust them out. I got some food delivery, and the delivery person calls me because normally I'm doing the leave outside the door. I'll come and get it, whatever.
I didn't like it at first, but now I kind of love it because it's like a little stork giving you something that's not a baby,
baby.
A Cuban sandwich instead.
And the same thing with those wafer fucking cabinets. If I open up my seamless and a baby's inside of it, I'm just going to let the baby die outside.
Baby better have a little hammer. Baby better help me put this furniture together. We've talked about it before.
Yeah, baby better have some kind of dental degree or something. If he's going to join my family, he needs to start putting food on the table immediately.
I'm with you.
But I got this delivery. So the person calls and says, like, I'm outside. Will you come and get the delivery? And I was like, totally cool. Leave it out there. Just leave it. I'm going to come and get it right now. And she's like, you come outside. Come outside.
You got to go outside, Henry.
So it's like, all right, I go. I put on pants.
Good.
I go outside. And the woman is, she is dealing with the bag of food, and she's got a bunch of plums in her hands, right? And she's trying to, and I was just gonna, she's like, sir, come here. And I was like, yeah. She's like, never forget the human connection. Never forget. And then she gave me a bunch of plums. She gave me all these plums, and I was just like, thank you for the plums.
What?
But is this
a real story?
This is a completely real story. This happened last night.
What's the significance of the plum?
I looked it up, but
okay,
I said,
what does it mean?
Nothing. So, I kept writing, I won't give gift of plum superstition. Give gift okay. of plum yeah. to strangers. Okay. Is this like a tracking device?
Did you keep the plums?
They're just sitting on the kitchen counter, yeah. And then I was like, I didn't want to say, it's not that I'm afraid to eat the plums. I don't know how they could be compromised.
They might be full of blood.
I didn't know what they are, but they are just...
It could be like the scene from The Golden Child where they put the spoon in the pudding, in the rice pudding, and it bubbles with blood. Be careful. I am not even a scaredy potato. I'm not a scaredy pants.
You're not. You have to say scaredy potato? Yeah.
But I would not even eat the plums. Don't eat the plums.
It's just strange.
Don't.
Because the first of it is...
You didn't order... We got to start the show.
No, I didn't order plums.
Okay, well,
no, it's seamless. I don't get fruit from seamless.
I don't know what people do. L.A. Henry Zebrowski, you are a changed man with your green hair and your tidy pants. Welcome to the show. This is Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben with the newly plumbed Henry Zebrowski.
I am so
in
plumbed.
Every sense of the word.
I'm so fully plumbed, I don't know what to do with myself. And honestly, I've been having I've had tiny pants for like 5 years.
Yes, I know you have. You always have tiny pants because you have no butt.
What about the beginning of this? I'm going to hand you these plums. I'm thinking, is this the beginning of like a Stephen King novel, The Plumbing? Like, if I eat one, do I become a plum? Like, will I be forever haunted?
You don't eat one, you may be cursed. I think you actually now have come full circle. You might want to eat the plum.
Honestly,
if a strange woman gives you plums, I think you need to bite one of the plums. But yeah, you could turn into a plum yourself, or you could have forever life.
I was going to maybe try to give a slice to Jackie. And see how she reacts.
That is the plot from Thinner. And that is how he killed his beautiful daughter. Although the first half of the movie Thinner, if you just stop it there, that is the greatest story ever. He's eating
he
so
great.
Much and he's like, I'm still losing weight.
Great.
I
yeah.
don't know what I'm doing. And I watched that as a kid and I was like, this isn't so bad, is it? But then he never gains any weight again and he dies.
But that's the difference. We came from a fat mindset
yeah.
where anything skinny is good. And
it is good because you
bad.
Can you imagine a world? Now, this might be actually a totally horrible dystopian hellscape, but where you had to eat to stay thin. Oh, I better have my 12th chicken wing, otherwise I'm going to gain some weight.
And now
oh, what a world.
This is just another episode of Ben Kissel's Edible Fantasies. What he wishes could be true.
Well,
we have a lot of hot news today.
We do have some hot news.
Number one. Possible alien farts on Venus.
That's what people were saying. You're calling them alien farts. They were also talking about perhaps it was just sort of a single organism, kind of almost a molecule, not really an alien. There.
Yeah, not a yeah. not.
I don't
news.
Know. Everyone always says life on Mars or life on Venus,
yes.
and then they show you the picture, and I'm like, I don't know. I get it. That was cool.
We just recently interviewed Sarah Scholes on our Patreon interview series, and Sarah Scholes wrote a really good article covering this in Wired magazine, and basically says the same thing. It's interesting because phosphine is the particle that they've discovered, and largely they've only seen it in places where either it's extremely high temperature, like in the atmospheres of Jupiter, which Venus is actually a rock, which I didn't fully understand because Jupiter is just like basically really fat, loided gas.
Okay, so Jupiter is fat, loided gas.
Yep.
And then Venus is a rock. And why am I paying this much money to go to Purdue University, professor?
This is the difference, is that Purdue, is we are actually a part of the chicken family. So if you hit me with chicken questions, I know a great deal about different cuts of chickens, exactly how to get it up to 165 degrees, which is the temperature you want that meat to be at for a succulent chicken breast.
If a university promised 100% chicken job post-college, I would do that in a freaking heartbeat. Right, better than computer science.
You go to Chicken University. I honestly think there is a lot of jobs in the chicken world.
As long as there's chicken, as long as they have wings, as long as there's sports, there will always be jobs in the chicken business.
I don't know. I eat a lot of wings and watch anime.
But speaking of watching things, Social Dilemma. Everyone's been chatting about the Social Dilemma.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, so number one. Phones are bad.
Phones are bad.
Yeah, Instagram bad.
Facebook is not good. None of it's good.
Twitter's bad.
It's all bad. Except Instagram sometimes gets me with like a shirt. Sometimes they'll show a shirt to me. Why is that though? But then also on my Discover page, it's just shoes.
Bad.
And golf people.
Bad.
But all the shoes.
The white men that created it apologized for an hour and a half. That is the social dilemma.
I don't want them to apologize on a documentary. I want them to apologize in a bunch of stocks with dunce caps on covered in fucking feathers. That's how I want to see my Mark Zuckerbergs.
Well, I would Mark Zuckerberg not apologizing.
No, weird. It seems like he's very confident.
He is very confident. But social dilemma, a lot of people chit-chatting about it. You will know 99.9% of the information that they talk about, but it's good to get it reaffirmed.
To remember.
And it might be something to sit your parents down or your grandparents down and have them watch it, because I do think there's a generation that are being hoodwinked by social media. And so it is interesting in that regard. The reenactments are the single worst thing I have ever seen.
Well, now I want to see
it. So just, it is fine, but also don't be one of those people where it's like, Social Dilemma, I was watching that. It's like, it's not that smart of a documentary.
The phones are bad. The phones are bad. And anyway, we're addicted to them. And that's what it's about. But I started watching The Vow about NXIVM.
This is the NXIVM documentary.
And it's so funny because Keith Raniere the whole time is like...
Keith Raniere.
Yes, I know.
He's not a venereal... I mean, he is kind of a venereal disease.
I view him as a venereal fucking disease.
My name
disease.
Is Keith Raniere. Just amazing what a name can do.
He is shorter than me.
Is he?
Yeah, he's tiny. Tiny little guy. But
really?
His whole thing was that he kept saying in the beginning, these people keep wanting to tell us this is just some kind of Scientology ripoff. And it absolutely is. The entire thing, all of NXIVM is bootleg white lady Scientology.
Really?
This thing is unbelievable. Nat and I are watching the docuseries, and the whole thing is just like, man, it's just amazing what you could just like white people yourself into. Well, all of a sudden you're getting branded by fucking number four on the cast list from Smallville. She's not even that big of a get.
Well, she's pretty important.
Tom Cruise?
In the cult world. Yes, of
Tom
course.
Tom Cruise is a big get. Nothing makes LRH look more like a fucking sexy grandmaster.
Oh my, I don't think that's even remotely close to possible,
yes,
ever.
If you watch Keith Raniere, LRH starts, you're like, actually, LRH is very handsome.
No, there is no way, they're both hideous, but there's no way that Keith Raniere is uglier than L. Ron Hubbard.
His personality
when you say LRH.
His personality is. Well, LRH had a beautiful singing voice, as we've heard on the stream several times. LRH also was a novelist.
God, I'm so happy you don't want to be an actor anymore. Otherwise, Scientology would be knocking on your
Scientology,
door.
Scientology, they don't have the fucking pull anymore. They don't even have the pull. But if you look at NXIVM, it's like disintegrations is their versions of Thetans. You got to integrate in order to get yourself at cause, which at cause is clear. They do a thing. It's called like jumping the gap or something, that it's exactly like going up the bridge.
So they're just bag cereal. They're fruit circles as opposed to Fruit Loops.
At least Scientology incorporates money into the uniforms and all of this. They're working out of Hyatt fucking conference rooms.
You are
this
such
stupid NXIVM bullshit with the little sashes and the stripe path
they called it? That's horseshit.
Such a mark. Such a mark for flair. Such a mark for flair.
I am a mark for flair because it also shows that the person's in charge takes their job seriously.
That is to some degree true. That's why my brother, little brother, works at McDonald's. Those uniforms mean a lot.
They
do. He always keeps them nice and clean.
They do, and especially once we start arming them.
I would love if they started arming Big Macs. I think every Big Mac should come with a gun. Maybe that's the Travis Scott meal that you can get, which is apparently just a quarter pounder, but you know what it has? Sprite, and then it gives you a little, and French fries, of course, and then a little barbecue sauce on the side.
I can just do that on my own.
No, but that's what he gets, and that's why. But the sad thing is you mix the barbecue sauce with the Sprite, you circle that around, you dip the fries in, that's the Travis Scott.
That's disgusting.
It could be.
That's me saying that. That's disgusting.
It is disgusting.
Speaking of people, I want to quickly talk about it. If you want to just check out Charlie Manson's daughter, Charles Manson's daughter had a freak out in the Taco Bell just to kind of bridge successfully from that story.
Was it really his daughter?
Who knows? It's just a woman calling a bunch of the white people that were at the store the N-word and then saying, I'm Charles fucking Manson's daughter. I'm going to come back and kill you.
Okay, she kind of looks like Charles Manson.
She does.
Well, this happened in Missouri in enraged Taco Bell customer. They were filmed, always being filmed.
Got to be filmed. That's why they're doing it. They're doing it to be filmed. It's a performative act. All of the quote-unquote, I'm even using the term Karens and Kens, I believe is the male version of it now.
I guess.
All of these people are doing it to be filmed. Well, if they weren't being filmed, they would just be doing that at home to their families.
I'm not saying that this woman had any right to freak out the way that she did. Taco Bell.
She says that she was just fucking, she was surprised at the price of the tacos.
Well, Taco Bell, they have said thank you. They commended the staff, so maybe they'll get one more Starfleet badge for their Taco Bell uniforms. But footage of the woman's outbreak was first shared on Reddit under the title Karen from Missouri Freakouts, saying she was shorted tacos. But here's the interesting hook. She was not shorted any tacos. She had all the tacos she ordered.
Has a Karen ever once been correct? Has a person having a public freakout besides me ever been correct?
I don't know. In this case, she says, give me my goddamn food, you little, I believe, pussy.
Yeah, she said pussy. And yes. You know, well, the way I, in the video, it's, give me my goddamn food, you little pussy. And she had a gravelly voice. She sounded like my impression of Charles Manson. Aww. She's just like, you will give me my fucking bean burrito or I will come back here and I will eat pussy until the world ends.
I think that was a great selection for Charles Manson. I think he would eat the bean burrito. I am currently, and this is a big thing for me to say, I'm protesting Taco Bell until they get the Mexican pizza back.
There's a lot of people who feel very strongly about the Mexican pizza.
I didn't realize that it was even close to being on the chopping block. I guess you don't know what you got till it's gone.
They're not listening to their proper constituents.
I get the Mexican pizza every time I'm there.
Really?
Every time I order, every Uber Eats. Absolutely. It is the greatest thing on the menu.
I've never had it.
The reason they're getting rid of it, they say, is for environmental concerns. But
what, for
you're
farts?
Taco Bell.
Yeah,
it's
yeah,
Taco
what is
Bell.
This for fucking, yeah, yeah. What are we doing here? What are we trying to protect? Taco Bell, there's certain things I understand. The earth is dying. We are the cause of it.
Mexican pizzas aren't the reason.
I'm with you. I believe this is just an example of corporate America passing the environmental buck to the American people, saying that we're the ones not eating Mexican pizzas because it helps to save the environment.
It was the only thing that even had the word Mexican in their fake Mexican restaurant was the Mexican pizza.
Taco. That's Spanish.
After some back and forth with the employee who called her actions very inappropriate, the female employee approached her with the receipt, okay? So she's like, you didn't give my goddamn food. And she's like, this is the receipt. And then she opened up the bag and she points out 3 Burrito Supremes, 2 soft tacos. That comes to $15, which, yes, no, that's actually a pretty good price. I ain't going to diss them on that.
3 burritos and 2 tacos for $15 is quite a good deal.
Well, the Burrito Supreme, too. We're not talking just your pesky little burrito.
Yeah, that's got penicillin in it. So, it's got, do you remember Game Genie? It's got the codes in it.
I loved Game Genie. It never worked, and I don't know why I bought that big-ass magazine, but
I got
I did
the
it.
My Game Genie worked.
Maybe I didn't put the codes in right. Also, the glove.
I love the glove.
It just was to promote the frickin' movie.
It was cool as hell. You got to press the buttons. Yeah, it hardly worked.
No one knows what we're talking about.
The Nintendo Power Glove.
The angry woman expressed her disbelief at the cost of the order, at which point the employees tell her she can leave. or she can call corporate, and then you're going to be talking to King Taco, and you don't want to deal with King Taco.
Kissel, say it correct. It's El Rey de Taco.
Absolutely. She continues to scream, punk bitch, punk bitch. Bringing my husband in here,
yep.
Which is really the ultimate victim of all of this.
Well, you can just see him out on his non-gas-filled riding mower that's now just become an outside chair, sitting in his backyard. His only moments of peace is when old Bertha goes to the Taco Bell and she gets her haul for the week, and then she can come in and munch in silence next to a bog where she lives. But then he has to come home and get this tirade, being like, "No, come here, because you know what Grandpa always said. Grandpa says we always get our revenge." And then when Grandpa, which she doesn't understand that Charles Manson, her father, technically is one of the worst sense of timings ever of any criminal.
Sure.
So they'll probably show up at the Taco Bell once it's already become a Burger King.
Absolutely. And then the only robbery is no robbery at all, because you can get a Burger King burger for a pretty cheap price these days.
Back there just fucking absolutely massacring the corpse of a bunch of the pregnant women operating the fryers in that Burger King. You don't understand. You're not even killing the right people.
Absolutely not. So the employee says, go ahead, get your husband. And that's where she says it. Watch me, little punk-ass bitch. You're going down, punk-ass bitch, she says. You fucked with the wrong motherfucker. I'm Charlie fucking Manson's daughter.
I wonder if that's a spiritual hierarchy or if that's real.
I'm just so surprised.
I want some of her blood. I want her blood.
I completely agree. I want to make sure that she really is. It's weird to
if
have...
If she left there on a tiny horse or in a dune buggy, I might believe her.
But it's just weird to have Charles Manson on the tip of your mind in a what it seems to be a blackout drunk and blind rage situation. For her to even summon the tulpa that is Charles Manson, it's kind of an interesting thing for someone to do. It almost makes me believe, is she? We don't know.
She could pull it all the time, though. Who knows? It could be always her go-to, because she does have a same sort of squat, lady gremlin-like face that Charles Manson had. Look at Charles Manson when he shaved his face and you grew his hair out, he looked like kind of like a horrendously gross-looking woman, and you could see that in her, which I think is...
But he does have a daughter, right?
Doesn't he have
a daughter and a son? It seems to me like it's the bloodline that no one can figure out. That guy who is the musician still trying to be I'm his son?
It's hard to substantiate. I'm not quite certain. It's the same thing with Ted Bundy's daughter being out there when that TikTok.
Wait until she's on Dancing with the Stars, buddy.
But that person from TikTok, there was a girl who put up saying, I'm Ted Bundy's granddaughter and all that kind of shit. So who knows? I'm certain that there is the progeny. And then, of serial killers everywhere, BTK's daughter who forgave him and is now just on a weird anti-COVID rant on Twitter that she is just. I wasn't totally surprised.
We don't malign the daughters of serial killers. We've always had that as a rule. But
I try not to even talk to him.
My God, BTK's daughter. Let's just say the apple don't fall too far from the tree. Not that she's a killer.
No, she can't.
She's a lot.
She's not nearly horny enough to kill.
No, she's not. Well, speaking of Dancing with the Stars, just briefly, we don't even want to talk about the Carol Baskin being cast. Oh. You guys can figure all of that out. What kind of world we're living in? Is she a celebrity? I'm not sure. Don Lewis, 1997. Obviously, that was her then husband. He went missing. To the point where they just said, well, must be dead, which that's not good.
Nope.
His family put a 60-second ad on that show, and I just thought that was very interesting.
It was very smart.
It was very smart. We can't lose sight of Don Lewis. Who the hell killed him? I mean, these things matter, and it would be good for the family. He has daughters to have a little bit of closure as they see a suspect for that murder. Dancing with the Stars.
Also, Carol Baskin can't be that good of a dancer.
I don't know why. That is the Hail Mary of all Hail Marys for casting agents. And there'll be a steep price for them to pay, perhaps, if there is some kind of television hell.
I mean, we also wonder why we sometimes think that the media is really happy and comfortable with where the world is today. And
it seems
to be that they profit off it a great deal and really enjoy keeping us in a state of panic and genuine unrest.
And now, Nelly, Dancing with the Stars.
Honestly, I would love to see Nelly.
Sure.
He is a real dancer. He's a performer.
At least he's technically a celebrity, not just famous for potentially killing her husband.
Live from your grave.
This comes from Tokyo all the way from Tokyo.
Oh, all
this
the way.
Story is about the world's oldest porn star and how only coronavirus can slow her down.
Woo!
Also, her ankles must be pretty weak.
Hey, buddy, the nice thing about being a porn star, you don't need to use the ankles too much. No, you're not standing up that often.
You can be all torso.
Absolutely.
You could lose the legs and the arms and still be a very successful porn star, especially if you can make it swivel.
And you know what? Honestly, you know, we speak in jest. This woman started doing porn at 79, but I think that's a very healthy thing for her to do. And female and male sexuality doesn't just die, Mr. Zabrowski.
That's true.
When you have decided to stop looking at their boobies, they still need to shake them.
Sometimes when a woman's very, very old, it's kind of fun to look at a picture of her when she's very, very young and kind of do kind of like intellectual, like brain Photoshop and transcribe the young boobies onto the old boobies. And then it's kind of like you're having sex with a history's version of that younger woman.
This is what you were thinking about on all those dates, huh? When you were on Twizzler or whatever.
Twizzler.
Yeah.
I'm always going on
Twizzler. The Twizzler dating site, whatever the hell it's called.
But Yuko Agasawara is 84 years young.
Beautiful.
But she might age significantly once she gets into the adult film world because it is hard on the body.
It really is.
But she got involved after... essentially, she was raised in World War II era Tokyo. It witnessed us about to destroy them many times.
Yeah.
And she didn't know if Tokyo was going to exist. She got into a sort of loveless marriage with a man that she had three children with. But she said he was a tough husband over the 35 years until he died at the age of 59. He never once let me go out for a drink.
Oh.
I lived without freedom. So when they... finally stopped.
Horrible.
When they were not together. So at the age of 61, she opened what's called a snack hostess club in Tokyo. One of her female customers at the club, which has since closed, works as a freelancer in the industry doing hairstyling and makeup. The customer says an employee of a production company for Jukujo Films, which is the term for their GILF porn.
Oh, mature ladies.
But like... very mature.
Okay.
So they like the theory. She basically said, do you know any grandmas looking to fuck on camera?
Well,
and
I'll
she was just like, yep. And she said the customer mentioned Agasawara, who was skeptical at first. However, that changed after she visited a shoot and noticed her potential male counterparts were handsome young men.
Well, good for her. And of course, the craft services would probably contain mostly plums.
Can imagine if she shows up with like a big, nice, like, I'm trying to think what a Japanese grandma would make, like some nice, like homemade grandma meals.
Ooh.
And she's fucking sucking that dick all day long.
lucky day.
Yeah,
lucky day to be a cameraman.
Her debut to release in 2016, she stars as a housewife who has to endure four sex sessions with her husband per day. She has appeared in about 10 other films. This
sounds
is very,
like a
very
porno.
Interesting.
It's just as bad as her marriage.
It's really intense. But then she said, but then she immediately goes back to like World War II veteran. The number of people who lived through the war is getting smaller and smaller, she tells Sincho. I have a strong heart because I have been through hard times.
Oh, she does.
And now I got that wet ass pussy.
Oh, good for
you. Snapping and gripping and snapping and gripping. But she's saying the only holding her back now is coronavirus.
Well, she does also recall an accident in which her head got sprayed with insecticide DDT, which turned her head white. She says, I had no bath, so I washed my body in the river where the cows bathed. And look at her now, 82 years old, snapping that P word on a bunch of other P words and just having fun with it.
God bless it.
Isn't that nice? God
bless
it.
Can you imagine your nana going at it?
I can. As a matter of fact, my grandmother, whenever we would visit her in the nursing home in Florida, she used to talk about all the men she wanted to have sex with, and she got in trouble for contraband gin.
Oh, yes, I remember this story.
She didn't drink, but she had a crater of gin.
No, she used to deprive men.
Yeah. So she was that kind of predator there. She's RIP, Grandma, love you.
But I get just the idea of going at it pro is very different than just being a normal horny grandma. Like, you really have to be able to, it's hard work to be in the adult film industry. You got to be able to get your, seriously, like, you got to get that, your wet ass pussy is not just a fun term from Cardi B.
No.
It is a technical adjustment. You must get to a wet ass pussy. You have to adjust it, and then a wet ass pussy has to be maintained for like 10 hours.
Well, I don't even think you're giving nearly enough credit to those ding dongs that have to stay aroused.
Oh, I don't even want to think about
them. You know what a nightmare world that is.
That's got to be hard because when it comes out.
You made a pun? Good work.
But it must be difficult.
It is difficult.
It has to be hard for a bunch of hours.
They don't even like sex anymore. It's like if you're a NASCAR driver and then you're like, I don't want to drive unless I'm working.
I feel like
sad.
I would hope that if you're in that world, that you liked it enough that you want to do it for an extra 10 hours a day if you can.
Look at Jay Leno. He always saved it for the camera. Because I was watching this. You know, Jay just saved it for the camera. He doesn't want to be telling the jokes all the time.
No, you remember when we were in Jersey? When the guy at the comedy club in Atlantic City, and the guy was like, Jay Leno was sitting right there. You wouldn't even believe Jay, he's just like you guys. He's a funny guy. He came in, he sat in there, he took out his car magazines.
He had car magazines, yes.
And he was flipping through them. Regular guy.
Nothing wrong with car magazines and jeans.
We always travel with a pouch of our old auto magazines.
Well, you got to have fun. Yuko was actually on the cover, or maybe not the cover, but her photo debuted in 2016 at the AV Awards. And I have to say, conservative dress, yes. But she's definitely not showing them. She's very conservative.
Wait a second,
dressed.
This is a porn magazine? This looks like the beginning of a bonsai tree catalog. What is this?
I don't know.
This is their porn magazine?
That is the debut. No, that's not her doing that. They have class, Henry.
No, I know. But the only thing is that
she looks very cute. She's doing a good job. I mean, she's
maybe
for
just
an 82-year-old woman, she looks very good.
Absolutely. She's beautiful. My question is I guess I'm just so used to I'm just so used to American porn where it'd be like, it would be a woman that looks like this, but she'd be like licking the bottom of her high heels with a cucumber up inside
of her. Yeah, that's because we're trash.
Mm-hmm.
We are not
but
class.
I tell you what, I've been fixing my algorithm every day by typing in new, very wholesome things, very wholesome things into the search bar.
I don't know if you should look at porn every day anyway.
Sometimes you got to.
She turns 85 in October. So she says, what happens in life happens, anything goes, she says, whether it is the coronavirus or work in the AV industry, they are the same. Not sure why.
I don't know.
Not sure how.
Sure.
But coronavirus and porn, they're the same.
Well, they're both going on.
Yeah. She attributes her longevity to the number of people who lived through the war is getting smaller and smaller.
Yes, that's what she's saying. Yes,
you got to love her. And she's a vet. And yes, maybe she was on the wrong side of history then, but how many times have we been on the wrong side of history and we have forgiven ourselves?
Well,
so we can forgive them.
I always do. And yes. Speaking of someone receiving seeds from China.
Oh my, this story is insane.
Hundreds
what is
of
going
Americans.
On here?
This is very strange. This keeps coming up. This is going on since the beginning of the summer, since the beginning of quarantine, and now it is still raging, and the U.S. government is trying to stop the spread of these mystery seeds from China.
I mean, this could be extremely dangerous. You know,
we don't know what's happening.
Like, if you look at Australia, for example, you can smuggle a bunch of heroin. They'll look the other way. Probably not true. But you try to bring a pineapple into Australia,
you are fucked.
You will go in. You will be incarcerated for 50 freaking years.
You go to pineapple jail, and yeah, the cops have fucking Hawaiian shirts on, but they're also looking up your asshole for pineapples.
Pineapples.
But the hundreds of Americans reportedly planted the mystery seeds from China. Apparently, we're planting them. So over this year, people have been receiving these kind of packets of seeds. Some of them have been identified according to the Fortune magazine. I was reading one article that said the USDA has identified about 14 of these mysterious seed batches that are actually normal. They seem to be rosemary, sage, mint, hibiscus, but then other people are just planting these fucking seeds because acting like it's Jack and the Beanstalk.
So someone got a random bag of seeds and they planted them.
Yes.
I don't know if that's what I would do with them.
No, I'd throw them out.
Yes, you have to.
But some people
maybe
are so curious.
Maybe treat them like a tick and burn them.
People are bored as fuck.
So this is
so
what
people just are burying these seeds. So one woman buried the seeds and she said that it killed her whole garden. And then other people, they buried the seeds and it came out with this orange. It was a flower, this white flower with some kind of orange fruit on it. And she said, as soon as that fruit came out, I knew I better throw this out because it's illegal. And so she went and dug up the plant and got rid of it.
Okay. So these seeds, they're not coming from China?
We don't know. The Chinese government is now saying they prohibit the moving of seeds and agricultural products through their general mail. So they're saying to America, we don't know where the seeds are coming from. Send us the seeds back. They're saying
they want the seeds back.
I want the seeds
back.
Well,
plant labs in Utah and New Mexico, two beautiful places, by the way. Stop making fun of everyone in Rochester, Henry. I got so many messages. Jeez.
I am going to say I'm sorry to the people of Rochester. I got so many messages. People have been very, very intense about their love of Rochester. I know you love a garbage plate.
Garbage plates are great for hangovers or just your random Tuesday morning.
They're good. We will just, you know what? And I think that the next episode of Arthur Shawcross is going to really show the heart of Rochester.
Good. Maybe you can be a little kinder then.
I think next episode we'll really see just how good the red light district of Rochester got.
Hey, man, all it needs is one lady of the night, one red light, and you got yourself a district. Plant labs in Utah and New Mexico. So they identified the seeds, as Henry said. This is exciting. Amaranth, rose, mint, sweet potato.
Yeah, sweet potatoes.
Sweet potatoes. Clovers, onions, cucumber, alfalfa, corn, hollyhock.
Yeah, there's a bunch of just
spearmint and daisy seeds.
This is the best radio.
Actually really fun.
No, you're just saying words.
No, I'm saying what the seeds are. Hollyhock. I didn't even know what hollyhock was.
Hollyhock is a plant that actually can suck you off. I don't know if that's certain. I don't know if that's real.
I don't know if that's legal.
But they don't know what these seeds are. I'm going to say to you, our dear listener, if you receive a packet of seeds, don't plant them.
Don't plant them unless, of course, they are hollyhock and you haven't had love in a while.
But you don't know what these are until you bite into them half the time. I don't even know how they test what these things are.
Well, they just do the test. We have the ability to. We have like DNA. We know what DNA is.
I'm
we
not
know
a part.
A
listen, I didn't go into Hogwarts today to learn the magic of science.
Osama El-Lissi, that is of the USDA's Animal and Plant Protection Program, Osama El-Lissi says, we have not found anything alarming. But you tell me, if I plant a seed and an onion comes out of the ground, I'll be pretty alarmed.
But that's actually, unless you were trying to plant onions.
I don't know. I'm still amazed how anything grows.
I don't know how it happens. Honestly, Natalie and I have killed two cactuses so far.
I don't even know that. I didn't know that was possible.
We killed a cactus. Jackie grows lots of peppers.
Jackie has more of a maternal instinct than us.
Yeah, her ovaries work.
Yes, and I think that's what keeps a plant alive. I don't know. I've never kept a plant alive. I think the whole thing is a scam, that they are meant to stay alive. I think that everyone just constantly buys new plants and pretends like they've kept them alive. It's a bunch of lies. So we don't know if this is a scam or not. I don't even know what the scam would freaking entail.
Don't
plant the seeds. Don't eat the seeds. Just throw the seeds away.
The deep conspiracy theory is that it is a long form version of bio warfare from China, right? That this is
We're in the middle of a pandemic that came from China.
Well, then we invited it with open arms here, and it's like it's American, isn't it? It's like it's one of our neighbors.
Now we just
invited it right in, huh?
Oh.
But, yeah, I don't know. I think that that's very far-fetched. I think that they would just straight up bomb us if they wanted to.
I think that war would be detrimental to both sides, and let's hope everyone thinks that way. You know what I miss is clowns.
Why?
Because seeds are the new way that the kids are getting back at the man.
Do you think this is about the seeds? Do you think this is rebellious teens?
Well, apparently, I've deduced that it is just a game where some perhaps overweight male in the basement is like sending seeds out.
Now it's time we're seeing onions all over the world. I don't know why. What's the purpose of just sending onions to somebody?
I don't know.
But also, straight up, if you're going to send me seeds, send me the plant.
Yeah.
And yeah, did I just get nervous about plums given to me? Sure.
Honestly, I agree with that. I know that you're dealing with some OCD things, but that is normal.
Yes.
For you to be like, no. Yeah, just, I don't just want the plums.
Didn't ask
I'm
for the
surprised
plums.
You took the plums into your home.
Well, what am I going to do? Being like, get these plums out of here, you woman.
They could
woman?
Be full of spiders. I don't know.
Well, anyway. We're going to wait till they hatch.
Right from your grave.
This story comes from Slovenia. Beautiful people.
Beautiful Slovenia. You know what's nice about Slovenia is that if you need a hitman, if you need a torture dungeon, fucking Slovenia's got you covered.
Yeah, this woman needed some money. So a Slovenian woman and her boyfriend have been sentenced to prison. They attempted to do a bit of insurance fraud in the hardest way possible. She cut off her own hand in hopes of claiming more than 1 million euro. It's about $1.56 million in insurance payouts. She's only 22 years old. How difficult is it to get any money in Slovenia? Do they have, they have to have money.
Yeah, well, they have Uber.
So why in the world would this woman cut off her hand? She was then sentenced to 2 years, and I have to say, she cut off her hand.
You know why I give her 2 years? So she can learn a lesson.
Isn't the lesson in the fact she no longer has a hand?
No, it's not enough of a lesson. No, it's not.
What a weak boyfriend. The boyfriend's like, babe, what?
Babe, seriously, babe, if you cut your hand off, then we're not going to be able to go to the beer festival this weekend, babe.
If I cut my hand off, I can't jerk off.
Where am I going to do that? And then what happens when you're tired? What happens then? And then I got to rub it on the edge of the bed.
So the case dates back to 2018. They took out 5 separate insurance policies on herself. She then
at 22 years old. This is just, you were just,
she
so
was
dumb.
20 then.
This is the this is just the dumbest version of the fish called Wanda I've ever seen.
Man.
They are doing an insurance scam when if you pile on insurance as a 20-year-old.
Right.
You are automatically put into a folder.
Oh,
where they're like, watch this one, where you keep going and saying, like, because who knows what I do with my hands?
Right. She then sliced off her left hand at the wrist with a circular saw in early 2019. The boyfriend and her and his father brought her to the emergency room without the hand to ensure it would not be reattached. Prosecutors said cut it off while cutting tree branches.
What? So, how does that even happen?
I don't know.
How do you? Because honestly, how long do you think does it take to saw through your own hand? I would say a minute.
Well, with one of those, I mean, hell yeah, even a bone saw. We do have a little bit of experience with bone saws because of our friend Marcus.
It takes a second. Yeah. It's not just one go. Your arm would bounce off it. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I'm fucking crazy. Tell me if I'm wrong. SidestoriesLPOTL@gmail.com. Because in my mind,
she must have been hammered.
It must have taken a second.
I mean, I feel bad for her in the same way I felt bad for the nihilist in The Big Lebowski who had to lose a toe and they never got anything in the end either. But she lost a hand.
And the big way they got her on the insurance scam is because before she did it, she looked up all these ways to get prosthetic hands.
Well, that's what the court found, that her boyfriend had looked up artificial hands shortly before the amputation took place.
No, babe, it's cool, though. Don't worry, you got these artificial hands.
They argued that this search history proved it was a deliberate act.
I think it was all the insurance that she piled onto her hands. She's not a concert pianist.
I don't know, but she is really upset. This is what she told Sky News. She says, "No one wants to be crippled. My youth has been destroyed. I lost my hand at the age of 20. Only I know how it happened." Very weird.
Very weird.
And then she'll have 2 years in prison. So ladies, be careful who you love. If your boyfriend is ever like, "I got a plan," and it doesn't involve him harming himself, you don't do it.
No.
You never do it.
You come up with the idea first. The thing about the dude is that you flip it on
him.
Then
you're the idea guy.
Then you always be, I think the lady should always switch into the position of the idea person.
Yep. I agree.
Get in there. Always be on top of the food chain. Always be the brains of the operation, because then you're never the hands.
And you do not want to be the one with the severed hand, because your boyfriend's going to leave you because, babe, it's kind of gross.
It's kind of gross. It's lopsided.
Yeah.
So. I'm kind of like a chick with two hands, huh?
It ain't gonna work out. All right, I think it's almost time for Hero of the Week.
Well, one thing I want to talk about real quick is a response to the realtors, the people, a bunch of us sent us emails saying,
oh, about the murder houses.
Yeah, do you need to disclose if there was a murder in a house you were selling? But it turns out it's different pretty much in every state.
Okay.
Everybody had a different answer, various listeners who sent responses in. In California, you have to disclose if there's been any death in the house within the last 3 years.
Okay.
In Texas, you do not have to disclose up front if there was a murder in the house. But if they asked you, you had to answer truthfully.
What? That's like, are you a cop? You gotta tell me.
You gotta tell me.
Apparently, it's weird because most states, you don't have to disclose any death from natural causes or accidents or suicide. If the person buying the house asks if someone died, then the realtor has to disclose that information.
Well, I mean, and there's always a great chance somebody died. There's a reason the house is up for sale.
It's normally tragedy.
And if it's too good to be true, it really could be too good.
It always is.
But you know what? Again, Sage, Bring a spiritualist in there if you want to do
bring
that.
Bring a spiritualist. I get a security system, buy a gun.
Yes, those things. That's better than spirituality. A gun. It's better than blind faith. But
why are they always paired?
I don't think it's that bad. I think I could do it, depending on the murder. But we've talked about that before. I think I can move into a house.
We know. I want to. I wish we could.
Yep. All right. Well, let's do Hero of the Week. Initially, I just wanted to make Football Hero of the Week. But that's because I've been so happy. Because
it's so nice to see. You honestly seem more relaxed since football's back on.
It's just been an amazing week, and I'm just so happy that it's happening. And I'm just, it almost feels like we are normal people once again. All right, but this story, it's just funny enough. And you know what I always love to do? Make a goat also a hero. So this goat...
Honestly, more... Your heroes are more often goats than they're not.
I know. But anyway, this goat, it invaded a cop car, it trashed all its paperwork, and it headbutted an officer. It's bad, and I feel bad for the officer, but it's a goat. A rampaging goat hopped into a Georgia police officer's marked cruiser last week before gnawing on paperwork, which is actually good for the officer because you can be like, a goat ate all of my homework, dude. Like, I'm done, dude.
Yeah, goat ate all the evidence. That's why I had to plant it.
I am done now. I am done and I'm going home. It toppled over a beverage, which you know is a Diet Coke, big Diet Coke, along with a series of Big Mac wrappers, because that's how you lose weight.
Always finally, a Diet Coke. That's always my favorite. Man. Well, I'm on a D. I'm on a diet, so.
Finally, the goat headbutted the startled officer to the ground, which that's not good, but the unidentified officer with the Douglas County Sheriff's Office was serving papers on a house at the time and left the door at the vehicle wide open. So if you are getting served papers, I'm not sure, maybe perhaps it was eviction. We have a lot of people struggling.
Yep.
But then this goat said, not today.
Nah,
officer. Officials explained that she had made a bit of a habit of keeping the door ajar because she's routinely chased away from homes by angry dogs and occasionally requires a speedy access to her cruiser. That's according, of course, to the officer. Well, still at the front door of the rural residence, the officer turned and saw the goat had hopped into her driver's seat. She returned to the vehicle and repeatedly tried to nudge and coax the animal out. That wasn't going to happen, though. When the creature finally stepped out, the cop struggled to salvage some of the paperwork still dangling from its mouth.
Breaking the law.
The scene ended with the goat launching into the chuckling cop and knocking her over. Although she was knocked over to the ground, she was not physically harmed in the incident. The sheriff's office said at the end of the day, we all get a little laugh. And we all hope you do as well.
And then
you go.
Then we put six bullets in
the goat's
back. Well,
the goat did live. My understanding is the goat did live. So anyway, goat, nameless goat, you are hero of the week.
And you know what? We're going to name you.
What?
Your name, Mr. Goat, is, you ready for it?
Slunchers.
Slunchers.
Slunchers the goat. I love it.
Whatever the first noise is out of our mouth. So we have some
listener stories.
Man, that song continues to work, huh?
Yep.
Look at that.
I reconnected with the person I used to work with way back when I lived in Chicago. She moved to LA and became a psychic. She's been messaging me on the regular, telling me about ghosts that she sees and how the Illuminati was trying to recruit her. Good for her, good benefits.
Oh, yes.
She said she woke up in the middle of the night, basically in a fugue state, and walked outside. When she got outside, a black car pulled up and two tall men dressed in black emerged from the car and tried to take her. She summoned a banishing spell and they left. Whoa, hellish rebuke.
Hellish rebuke.
However, they still contact her. She also speaks to aliens every night and they just get in touch with her because they just want to talk. But they're not malicious or mean.
Huh.
They're lonely. It's space.
Okay.
Just lonely ghost-like aliens. My favorite story that she's told me, well, stories, is that Richard Ramirez appears to her and then they are dating. She said that he feels an enormous connection with him and they used to have, like, ghost dates around all of the haunted Hollywood hotels.
Okay.
She also constantly reminds me that he was a Pisces, just like me, and that he was a sensitive old soul.
I don't think that's true.
Nicole Brown Simpson also appears to her with huge breast covers and spiders.
All right.
And I'll see it.
Sure.
Apparently, Nicole is unhappy in the afterlife.
No,
I wonder why.
Yeah, what happened?
She's also told me that I am a psychic channel and that if I get into Reiki, I can unleash my true psychic energy. Don't come at me with the Reiki.
Do
my
not.
Mom is super into the Reiki. Don't. I just don't.
Is it working for her?
I don't know. She needs hip surgery. And yes. She can't Reiki her way out of the hip surgery. I keep telling her this. I can unleash my true psychic energy. I mentioned psychic vampires because I definitely think she is one. She also has told me that she is not from this planet, which honestly, I believe.
Did she just order Taco Bell? Did they just get her order?
I'm Charlie
right?
fucking Manson's daughter, and I'm coming back. Okay. I'm coming back for the Crunch Supreme.
Hey, baby, that's a reason to come back from the afterlife.
So here's another letter. So I'm a Marine. My job is to work with the explosives that go on helicopters, fighter jets, and stuff, and the explosives have to be stored in concrete magazines, bunkers, way out in the middle of the Okinawa jungle, right? So he's stationed in Okinawa. On Kandena Air Force Base. The area is called the MUNS area, short for Munitions Storage Area, and basically every night at least 1 to 2 Marines have to stand guard overnight at the magazines. You basically sit in a chair under a small light in a little shack in the middle of this dense-ass jungle.
And you have to read them children's books because we want our weapons, we want our bullets to be calm.
I want them to be calm. I want them to be rested.
Jack and the Beanstalk.
If you ask any Marine who stood guard there, they'll tell you the same eerie thing. You can hear children playing and babies crying in the jungle. And the brush will seem to move. And it's the scariest shit ever. You'll hear footsteps behind you and around you. Or you'll hear a child calling out to its parents or something in Japanese or playing. It's terrifying. And basically, the story goes is that the voices babies crying are the dead Okinawa children that were killed during the Battle of Okinawa in 1945 in World War II.
Jeez.
The Japanese would strap TNT or grenades to Okinawan mothers and force them at gunpoint to surrender to American Marines and basically explode them when we go to help them. Mm. Also, they would give 2 grenades to each child and tell them to throw one at Marines and then use the second one to kill yourself because the Americans were savages and that we would eat them.
Well, just throw the other one though too.
Thousands of Okinawan civilians were killed in the battle, and my friends and I believe their souls still haunt the jungle.
Wow. Before fembots, you know, then it was just suicide bombers, wasn't it?
Fembots were never real.
They weren't real.
No. It's just
a
concept
for a documentary.
It's not a documentary. It is a film starring Michael Myers. It's Austin Powers.
Austin Powers, indeed. He's not British.
He's not. He's Canadian.
Yes, indeed.
He's a fucking lying.
He's a liar.
Now, and this is another story that I thought was interesting. I got this from a low-income, so this comes from a teacher. I'm a teacher in a low-income school, and when Arthur Shawcross' parents said to his school that since the problems were happening at school, that the school needed to deal with them, it really resonated with me. Every time a kid gets in trouble or has some sort of issue or is struggling in an academic case or an academic class, we reach out to their parents. I hear that same message a lot of the time. A lot of parents think that school problems should be dealt with by the school, whether they are academic or behavioral problems. It's intense. It's hard to be a teacher.
It is hard to be a teacher because the kids, it's fluid, you know, like the kid at school or at home, it's like the same kid.
Yes.
You know, so you want to kind of address those things. Wow. I'm just so happy. I'm so happy that there's so many great parents out there. Isn't that nice? All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening to this week's Side Stories. We have another great week for you here at LPM.
Every week we try to pump out some of the highest quality material you can possibly have. Check out all of our other shows here on LPN, Fraudsters, our new show with Sina Ghaznavi and Justin Williams.
Absolutely.
Check out Whiz Brew, Page 7, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, all of the shit.
All of the fun stuff.
Start submitting now. For Listener Pasta's edition for Halloween, if you want. Side Stories LPOTL. We're looking for your scariest of creations.
Yes, we are.
To read on the air. We're very excited. Halloween is coming faster than I thought it was going to come because time doesn't fucking exist.
It's going to happen, Henry.
And we want to, I need spooky. I got to feel spooky because right now I did a little bit of a spooky moratorium. I'm giving myself a tolerance from spookiness break because I'm doing 31 for 31 for October. So last night I watched the first Mission Impossible movie, which I've never seen.
No kidding. Now, why would you even go on a mission like that?
It just seems, honestly, it seems like they're going to have a hard time.
Okay, Henry.
That's it.
You're not going to triple L?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, sure. You got to live every day like you're Joe Jorgensen.
You have forgotten what this three... Live?
Live, laugh, love. But I remember today because Joe Jorgensen posted today your favorite libertarian presidential candidate.
Well, she is the only one with the libertarians. No, she was interesting. Interesting interview.
But she said, what was it? I think our whole world would do a little better if we did a little bit more living, laughing, and loving.
And for president... Wow.
I was fucking laughing my ass off. So live every day like you are, you live inside a crystal of your own awareness like Joe Jorgensen. And you won't be affected by the outside world. And love the space inside of your own personal crystal where you are king and queen and dictator and you can do whatever you want and do whatever inside of your own little personal crystal reality. And then I want you to laugh.
Sure.
Scream with laughter because you're inside your own crystal and no one can fucking hear you because they're in there, they're trespassing and you are allowed to stand your own ground inside of your own crystal realm. That is true. Guns are permitted and you can kill on your own property inside of your own mind.
Okay, so that's just you taking a nap and fantasizing about murdering people, but that's fine as well. Hey, have, man, a little fun with it.
It's fun to just tell a story to yourself.
Yes, it is. All right, everyone, thanks for listening. Hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magusdalations.
Hail me.
Indeed.
You're dirty. Hail me.
Rochester's a beautiful city.
Honestly, I'm fine with Rochester. I've never even been to Rochester.
Yeah, we've been.
Let me go.
Nah, I went there alone.
You just imagine me in a sidecar everywhere I go.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.